Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. Of course, I'm joined by my tag team partner here, Rich Stambolian.
What's up, bud?
We're doing a strange show here today.
Yeah.
I did not intend, or neither did Rich, to talk about the passing of Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda. Last night, around 6:30, it came out that Bray had passed away. I don't know if you have the lower third here, the image here, MG, our producer.
Pull it
up if he gets a chance. But Triple H announced the news on Twitter Thursday evening around 6:30, and he said, just received a call from WWE Hall of Famer Mike Rotunda, IRS, who informed us of the tragic news that our WWE family member for life, Wyndham Rotunda, also known as Bray Wyatt, unexpectedly passed away earlier today. Our thoughts are with his family, and we ask everyone to respect the privacy at this time. Terrible.
Yeah, awful news, man. Like, really sudden.
Very sudden. You know, there were some stop and goes with Bray over the last couple of years that, you know, there was a lot of questions surrounding it, you know, and a lot of people speculating over his health and, you know, and us, Fightful, Observer, everybody was very respectful of this.
Absolutely.
Whenever there's a health concern, you rarely want to kind of dig into it. He came back. He started that new Fiend gimmick or whatever he was calling it, right? With Uncle Howdy and Bray. And there it is. There's Triple H's tweet on the screen. And in February, he stepped away again after that Mountain Dew match. And a lot of people were questioning what's going on about his health. And a lot of us that knew were told, oh, he has COVID and he'll be back shortly.
Yeah.
And that shortly never happened. And it turns out last night when this was happening, I generally stay away from anything health related. Ever,
right.
Always.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like it doesn't feel right to me.
Right. Exactly.
And that's me. That's on me. I'm not judging anybody that reports this stuff. I think Sean did a fantastic job at breaking that news.
Yeah.
I was speaking to a couple other people. I did speak to someone that is very close to the family. They contacted me last night, and they it's essentially what Sean put out was exactly what I was told, and I had a tweet ready to go, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah,
and I think some of it, you know, I had that health scare with my daughter,
yeah,
and that really still has rattled me, and the Bray stuff, it didn't feel right. I just didn't feel right doing it. And again, I'm not. This is no. I think Sean did it in the best of ways.
Absolutely.
He's a total class act. And I wrote to him. I wrote to Sean, and I said, I don't want to go into the details. And I said, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he did. And he wrote something very essentially exactly what I was going to put. What I had heard when I spoke to someone that was close to the family, they said that Wyndham caught COVID early this year, which exacerbated a heart issue.
Sad.
You know, and we're in a, you know, it's tragic. 36, 37 years old. Made an impact on the business, made an impact on the industry, made a impact on a tremendous character. That, you know, really came from his mind. And he evolved himself multiple times. Here's Sean's tweet. And I was given permission to reveal that earlier this year, Wyndham Rotunda, Bray Wyatt got COVID that exasperated a heart issue. There's a lot of positive. He had made a lot of positive progress and he was returning. And that is exactly what I was told. People within WWE and people that are close to him had told me that he was getting ready to come back and things were looking really good. And he unfortunately suffered a heart attack and passed away.
Very sad. Very sad. You know, when things like this happen, you're never prepared. But we're here today. We're doing a tribute, our little in memoriam for Bray Wyatt and also for Terry
Funk.
We're
going to talk about Terry, too.
You know, who also passed away this week. Very sad week for professional wrestling and sad week for the fans. But, you know, I always think it's even more heartbreaking and stirring when somebody like Bray Wyatt passes away, and then all you hear are how great the guy was. You hear stories of how great this guy was. And it's like, it kind of, it makes, it's bittersweet in that way, you know, where there's a reason why sometimes you should give people their flowers when they're still alive.
Yeah.
You know, because this is stuff that was completely kayfabed.
Yeah. And, you know, he has children. He has a wife. Yeah. He's a young man that has a young family. It's beyond tragic. And, you know, my kids came in and I was watching his, you know, you go down the YouTube rabbit hole afterwards. Yeah. And I told my kids that he passed away, and Hunter just yelled, no.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it was such a genuine reaction because they loved that character.
Right. Yeah.
You know, when we went to the Garden, we were going to see him. He didn't wrestle. That's when he had COVID. So, tragic. And this is probably the first one in a long time in WWE actively.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When I obviously Brody, but he had left the company at the time. Yeah. MG, do you remember the last time an active wrestler passed away in WWE?
No. That's a great question.
It's
happened two times now in AEW.
It's happened twice in AEW. It was Brody and
why is it escaping?
Yeah, what am I missing?
We're both missing it. Anyway. Boys.
Oh yes, 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 yes. Yeah. Tragic. Mm-hmm. Jay Briscoe.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, wrestling is a rough life. It's a very active life. Not saying that was anything connected to his lifestyle or his wrestling, but you know, you have an underlying condition, and a lot of times you don't know these things until it happens. And you know, I don't want this to become a COVID conversation.
Right,
a lot of people are reaching out to me, and they want to make it that. And you know, it's tragic,
right?
It's utterly tragic that a guy this young and this deep in his career, this guy should have had another 20 years
or more
of doing this, and just terrible. And all I could think about is the kids and JoJo and
the rest of his family.
And the rest of his family. I mean, you were a big fan of his, and so was I.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of those things where you're kind of like, you hope against hope, and you want him to be somewhere with Brody and Blackjack.
Yeah.
He's just raising hell somewhere, you know? But listen, I think
Eric
the conversation...
Rowan, I mean, that man, he lost two of his career-making friends.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I just terrible. And they both with heart issues, right? They were both heart-related issues, and if there's ever a reminder that you should go get something checked out, go get your physical, go to the doctor.
Absolutely.
If you have a family.
Yeah.
Listen, I didn't go to a doctor for 18 freaking years. And I finally did to make sure, because it's not about me. It's about everybody else. And you know what? Even though they caught that he had this condition.
Right.
It was when the problems were starting. And terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
But listen, the positives, he was ahead of his time.
Head of his time,
I think in a lot of ways, I think he was too big for what he was doing in certain respects, you know, very ahead of his time. I think the guy had such a wild imagination for creativity, and it was like, you knew, I think that's the other thing that makes it very tragic, is that you and I and everybody who pretty much like is a fan of wrestling really wanted to see what the guy was going to do next.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what came before, but it was always like, well, I wonder what this guy's going to do. You know, like nobody expected the Firefly Funhouse.
Nobody expected it, and nobody thought it would be as successful as it was.
Right.
Alexa Bliss put out they were bonded in that story too, you know, and just, I spoke to a couple of people within WWE talent wise. And it, you know, I just reached out to them via text and I was like, how are you holding up? Because I knew, you know, a lot of them are very close. This is a brotherhood. This is a sisterhood. You know, you don't travel the world with people and not develop a very strong bond with them.
Exactly.
And one of them reached out and he said, hey, thanks for asking. This is the worst news I've ever gotten.
Yeah.
And terrible. 37, 38 years old. No, this should never happen. You know, someone, I believe people are saying the last active wrestler to pass away in WWE was Benoit.
Wild. 2007?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I don't know. Is that, I guess, I mean, I can't remember.
I can't remember anyone. Actually tracks.
You know, that's
Yeah. Yeah, 2007.
When I search it, that's the last one that I could find.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan.
You know, and this is not something that happens that's too common anymore.
Right.
In wrestling, you know, we grew up in a generation that things like this were happening. We were, I mean...
For different reasons.
For very different reasons.
Yeah, for very different reasons.
Rich and I, and a lot of you guys, but there's also, and I keep forgetting, we're much older than a lot of our audience. You know, we're 20 years older than a lot of our audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this was a... Wrestlers passing away became a very common thing in the early 2000s. And luckily, we are away from that, and it's not a common thing. And a 37-year-old dying of a heart attack is not a normal thing at all.
Yeah, I mean... It's I don't want to say it mirrors it, but you know, the Eddie Guerrero passing also, like, that came out of left field as well.
So Wyndham Rotunda, Bray Wyatt will go down as one of the most iconic characters in that company's history.
Absolutely.
It's amazing to see the community talk about him and give him his respect and just the positivity now over this discussion. So, and then on top of that, you know, and there's no way to transition. Terry Funk passed away the day prior.
Yeah.
And Terry, you know, Terry's health was deteriorating for a while, and you had heard that. And this is a guy that, you know, if there was no Terry Funk, there wouldn't be no Jon Moxley.
There wouldn't be a lot of people. There wouldn't be an ECW.
That first pay-per-view was reliant on Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy that was told that in 1987, he should have been retired by then.
Yep.
And he probably, I think 1989 was the peak of his career. He had a breakthrough year in 89.
Mm-hmm.
And then his ECW run revitalized him, and he went into WWE, and he became a household name.
Yeah.
To an entire generation that didn't know who Terry Funk was.
Exactly. And on like a personal note, like him in Japan, along with Cactus Jack, got me through high school, like big time, you know? So I'll always have that place in my heart for like Terry Funk, you know, that older set himself on fire, Terry Funk.
We got a chat in the comment. We have a comment in the chat. Ray's basically my age. I weigh 235 and I'm 5'10". I had COVID in the past and this scares the shit out of me. Well, I'm going to tell you guys, go get a freaking EKG.
Oh yeah.
If you are a guy in your 30s, mid 30s and later, it takes 2 seconds to get it done.
Yeah. Go to your cardiologist. We sound like old man wrestling right now.
But like, you know what? I just had one. Yeah. I just had an EKG done.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. Listen, the odds are you're fine, but never know. You never know.
Yeah. If your insurance covers it, get everything
they do for your physical
checked out.
They do it at your physical, you know? Now. If you're approaching 40.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Just
get checked out. Get your brain checked
out. Favorite
match? Oh, that's tough, man. I think favorite moments, all the Wyatt family versus Shield.
That stuff was great.
When he debuted as like the Cape Fear Bray Wyatt.
When he came in.
When he came back, when, you know, Husky Harris gone.
Yeah.
Comes out, was cutting those promos on FCW. The early episodes of Mad Men. I think we were the only ones watching FCW online.
You and I,
And our third man at the time, Jonathan, too. Like, the three of us would just watch FCW and then talk about it. And then we were like, holy shit, like, what is this guy doing with these promos? Because it was shot in the attic, the barn.
It was very unique for the time.
Mm-hmm.
Before Bray Wyatt showed up on TV. Like, that, it was a very unique, just, he had full control. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you watch people on TV, right? And you watch them cut a promo.
Yeah.
And they talk about it. And you feel like, oh, they're great. They're delivering their lines.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't feel like that with Bray. It felt, everything he said was in his cadence, in his verbiage, mm-hmm. in his, you know, body language. It wasn't
sincere.
Sincere.
Committed.
And, you know, and his, when he did that John Cena match, mm-hmm. where a lot of people poo-pooed all over it, I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was great. That was great.
And it showed you the range in that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He came out, did that Eazy-E promo.
Yeah.
And you're watching, and you're like, you know what? This guy, he could go in and out of all these personas and characters. I feel terrible for his brother.
Yeah, and his father and the rest of his family.
And his
father,
you know, Bo had come back. He was obviously doing the Uncle Howdy mm-hmm. stuff with him. It is weird. It is so unexpected when you talk about this. And I want to talk about Terry a little bit more, but, you know, this is two tragic passings, obviously, but one very surprising.
Yeah. What about you? What are your favorite Bray Wyatt moments?
I think the Danielson moment, where that made Danielson in that. And, you know, it's funny because I remember watching it and he joined the Wyatt family. And mm-hmm. you and I were ragging. We're like, he looks like a sanitation worker in that dumb suit.
yeah.
Right? Like, and we're like, why? This is so dumb. Why are they doing this? And this is one of the times that we were happy to be wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it actually added more to the Danielson, mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan character. And I think that was and if that hadn't happened and Bray wasn't Bray, I don't know if it would have gotten over the way it did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think a lot of the stuff that he did, if it wasn't for the guy, it wouldn't have gotten over. Like that debut with the Fiend, like the Fiend mask, the Tom Savini Fiend mask. Yeah. I remember just being like,
we were
like,
just talking about Tom Savini, weren't we?
Who was it? I think so.
Yeah.
It may have been me. It may have been Coco.
Yeah, I think it was Coco. Yeah, it was
it was
Coco.
More than likely it was Coco.
Yeah, it was Coco.
But that debut of that, I remember getting chills and being like, yeah, that looks gnarly. And it looks awesome. You know, like it was the presentation. I think that was great.
Yeah.
The music is what did it for me.
The music,
every time, the music
and the fireflies, like just everybody holding up their phones. I think it was just such an image, like a sight to be seen, especially in the arena or when there was like a big marquee match and he was still doing like that Cape Fear character, which I think might be my favorite.
What, the Cape Fear
brand? Yeah,
yeah. I thought he had some tremendous range, and even the stuff that wouldn't be up my alley turned into it, like the Firefly Funhouse stuff. I don't think people realize how over it was.
And tongue-in-cheek and entertaining and well put together. Like, that was, you know, whoever... I think with WWE, it's like, if you get the production guys on your side...
Yeah, you're good.
You can do anything, you know?
Yeah, so Bray Wyatt, rest in peace to Wyndham. Terrible. Terrible. Let's talk about Terry a little bit.
Yeah.
Icon in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
The wrestler's wrestler
mm-hmm.
from Amarillo, Texas. I knew who Terry Funk was, obviously,
mm-hmm.
like as a kid watching wrestling, but we didn't have Terry Funk on TV weekly.
Right.
Right. I would see him when my grandmother would put WCW on.
Right, right.
I would see him there, and I remember his feud with Flair. But the real first impression of Terry Funk was ECW for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, regularly seeing mm-hmm. Terry Funk, right? Same for you?
It was the crossover of the Japanese tapes and ECW.
Yeah, okay. Yes, know? The Japanese tapes.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to remember. I think I saw him 97... Mm-hmm. 96, 97 ECW before I got the tapes.
I kind of remember we may have traded like similar tapes.
I gave you the IWA deathmatch, right?
No, I bought that at Breakdown.
Do you know what I did? Yeah. I borrowed it. I rented it from Jack Sabbath at Wrestling Universe.
Yeah.
And I never brought it back. The last time he saw me, he heard me say that on the air, and he told me that the interest is like 30 grand.
He's like, hey.
And that I have to buy something now.
Yeah, because there was two places that had wrestling stuff. There was Breakdown Records, which was on Bell Boulevard, and then there was Wrestling Universe, which was also close by on Springfield. And I remember just being like, I got to go see if they have it. Like every day, you know, I got to see if they have it. And then I remember getting the IWA, loving it, because you would see the pictures. Like I had like bloody Cactus Jack and Terry Funk pictures on my wall, you know, as like a teen. And then somebody slipped me like a highlight tape with him and Dory in Japan. I want to say they were feuding with like Abdullah the Butcher.
Who was?
Dory and Terry.
Okay. Okay.
And I think they were feuding with Abdullah the Butcher. I think this was like around when Terry was like really over in Japan or getting really over in Japan.
Okay.
And he was like beloved.
Well, remember he retired in 86, right?
Yeah.
And that's where the Forever comes from. Terry Funk Forever.
Bachelor 3000 loved Funk's unorthodox style and was hilarious in Roadhouse and over the top. Oh, he was great in Roadhouse.
He was great in Roadhouse. Yeah. And him and Stallone became very good friends.
Yes.
And he recommended Hogan to be in Rocky.
Yeah.
And do you know who was supposed to play, who was the Russian?
Ivan Drago.
You know who was supposed to play the Russian?
No.
Or he pitched to play the Russian?
Who?
Kerry Von Erich.
Ooh.
And he just didn't do well in the screening.
Wow. That's fascinating. The Terry stuff is very interesting. I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong here, if you guys know your wrestling lore, I want to say he's the one that turned wrestlers on to getting insurance from Lloyd's of London.
Was he the one?
I don't think so, because he was in a couple of movies and he was like, no, I'm taken care of. I'm an actor. They're taking care of me. And I think Mick Foley ended up doing the same thing. And he had like a bit part in something, like a background. Like he was in the background of something and then got that insurance, the health insurance, right?
Yeah.
And then a few other guys did it. And I remember I want to say it was Flair. There was one story where he saw Funk at an airport like 15 years ago, maybe. And Funk is yelling at him, like cutting a promo. Like, not like, hey, what's up? But he's like, terrify if you Ric Flair, you know? Like,
you piece of garbage. Yeah.
But nothing but good memories. And he's another guy that everybody just like poured their heart out about.
It was
how SAG, much they
it was
love
SAG
him.
After insurance, not Lloyd's. But Lloyd's is like, okay. Lloyd's of London is, for people who don't know, it's like insurance. You could take a Lloyd's of London policy. Mm-hmm. Like Jennifer, remember like in the 90s, Jennifer Lopez took insurance on her ass and that was like the story. Do you remember that? Yeah.
Or like
that
Tina
Turner's legs. Those would be Lloyd's of London policies.
Okay.
Actually, after Sandy here, I had Allstate Insurance. They dropped my insurance and they didn't tell us.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And I had to get, and no insurance company was giving us insurance because of Sandy. Because
Hurricane Sandy. It's not a person.
Not a person.
Hurricane Sandy.
And they considered us waterfront property because the water is 500 feet. The Little Neck Bay is down this way.
Yeah.
I'm nowhere near the water.
It's not even much water.
It's not even much water. And I'm elevated. Mm-hmm. But I had to get a Lloyd's of London policy for a year on my house. And it was like $12,000 freaking dollars. It was something insane, obnoxious. But and then we got another storm and they paid out everything, like to repair everything, which was great.
Also, Terry Funk, arguably the best brawler of all time.
Arguably the best brawler of all time. Best swinging.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I love that he did? You know when he's like, he got the dizzies? And he's like trying to, and he does those big swings and the big grabs, the big grab for the rope.
Oh, yeah.
Very unorthodox, very unique style, and you don't see it anymore, that people like that, because everybody is trained the same.
Yeah, and
we got different memories of him for
what's
sure.
What's your memory? What's your memory?
What's your memory? Hey, dude, you're like 1,000 years old. Tell us. You've seen all the rest.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a zillion years old. No, I remember the the original when he came into the WWF in like 85, and he was in that WrestleMania 2 match. So he was with, and he had the branding iron, and he was from the Double Cross Ranch. Like, I wanted to go to the Double Cross Ranch. I thought that was so cool. So I remember that. And what I think the most, one of the things, someone that we're going to see this weekend, the New Age Outlaws got a big rub from him and Cactus Jack in that dumpster match.
Oh yeah.
Their careers were made after that. So he did, you know.
I also think Beyond the Mat was really opened your eyes to Terry.
Yeah.
On what a nice man he is.
Absolutely.
And how much his family loves him, his daughters.
Texas. Yep.
And you know, that match that he had, that was his retirement match.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the commercials for it. And it was a crossover of WWE talent and ECW talent at that Amarillo show where he faced Bret Hart for the world title. And I think they presented him with a world title at the end, even though he didn't win. They gave him a world title of some side of title.
Something like that,
I think you had Mankind and Sabu in a match on that card, right?
I think so.
And that was the commercial that you would see on ECW.
It was always
And they played Desperado during a commercial.
Yes. It was always so refreshing to see that, because you were like, take Mick Foley and take Terry Funk. Here are two guys that have bled and destroyed each other all over the world and are loving parents and love their family, and their family loves them. You know, it's like, I feel like that's one of the best parts about professional wrestling, you know, where it's folks think it's just a lot of stupidity sometimes. You know, you still run into that, you know, like, oh, pro wrestling. But yeah, it's awesome. Like, Mick Foley's tribute was great too. You know, like, I think he was one of those guys that knew him the best. And Bret Hart put out something really nice the other day as well.
Yeah, just tragic. I you know, having both of these happen at the same time, it adds a different layer also. But
you know what's interesting?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, but just think about it. Two days in a row, we lost two of the most intriguing as far as reinventing themselves.
Yeah.
Both of these guys were masters at reinventing themselves over their careers. So from that standpoint, that's kind of tragic if you think of it like that.
Yeah.
Terry Funk was also in an episode of Thunder in Paradise where he played a character named Amarillo Dokes.
You son of a bitch.
In his acting, he was the same. He was the same character. Top in Roadhouse, he was just that same character.
Well, we were pitching, tossing around the idea of Matt Man at the movies, right?
And that was one of the movies.
That
was
one of the movies. Yeah. I was like, we got to do Roadhouse, man. Terry Funk's all over it. Wild. And his Dark Side of the Ring. I think the last TV appearance was the Onita Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes.
Yeah, that was it. That was the one.
Still very charming, you know.
Listen, you don't get Terry Funks too often, you know.
Yeah,
different generation, Last of the Territory guys, long career. He wrestled a couple years ago in Japan with Dory. He had a match. When was it? 2015, 16, 17?
Yeah,
last Terry Funk match. It was in Japan. 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was he teamed up with the Rock and Roll Express against, it wasn't in Japan, against, this cannot be right.
Against the Rockers.
What? No, it says it was against Brian Christopher. It was him and the Rock and Roll Express versus Doug Gilbert, Jerry Lawler, and Brian Christopher.
That must have been before 2017, right?
It says 2017.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
MG, get on there. What research can you do right now?
Yeah, September 23rd, 2017.
Wow.
That was his last match.
Wow, you know
and
what?
He died on the 23rd.
Brian Christopher passed away in 2018.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this was Terry's last match, 2017. What is it, 5 years to the date of his passing.
Wow.
Yeah,
wasn't his last WWE appearance during that Dean Ambrose Brock Lesnar build to the Mania match?
It could have been.
They brought him in. They brought him in, and he had the chainsaw, and he gifted the chainsaw to Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
I think that was his last WWE appearance, and then
very
they never used
time
it
in, wrestling.
In the match.
Yeah, they didn't even use it in the match. Very strange time. But we wanted to do this. We wanted to spend some time on this and talk about this. So what we're going to do, I told everybody before, mm-hmm. we're splitting it into two shows because yeah. I can't do the same jokes and transition into like a normal show after talking about something so serious. So what we're doing now is we're gonna end this show.
Yeah.
Okay. So people listen on podcast. This is one episode, and then we're gonna have another episode going into All In and all the wacky shit that we're gonna talk about.
Yes.
All right. So from Rich and I, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Run.